Seventh Apostolic Letter, Glorious Palmarian Holy Year, 2018. We, Peter the Third, Sovereign Pontiff, Vicar of Christ, Successor of St. Peter, Servant of the Servants of God, Patriarch of Palmar de Troia, De Gloria Ecclesia, Herald of the Lord God of Hosts, Good Shepherd of Souls, aflame with the zeal of Elias, and Defender of the Rights of God and of the Church. We, as universal doctor of the Church, with the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, that of the Apostles St. Peter and St. Paul, and our own personal, solemnly declare and proclaim the following. With unspeakable joy, we proclaim the coming year, 2018, Glorious Palmarian Holy Year, given that the 30th of March next year is the 50th anniversary, or Golden Jubilee, of the first apparition of the Most Holy Virgin Mary in the sacred place of El Palmar de Troia, and in August, the 40th anniversary of the papacy in El Palmar de Troia, and as well the commemoration of the Church's 40 years in the desert. Glorious Palmarian Holy Year will begin at the start of the coming 1st of January in the year 2018 and will end at midnight on the 31st of December that same year. By attending the turns of Holy Masses celebrated in the Cathedral Basilica of Our Crowned Mother of Palmar during this glorious holy year, all the faithful of the One, Holy, Catholic, Apostolic and Palmarian Church can gain one most plenary indulgence at each Mass they hear. For this are required: true repentance for sins, confession if unfortunately in mortal sin, Holy Communion, at least once each day they wish to gain the indulgences, and to pray for the intentions of ourself, Peter the Third, Palmarian Sovereign Pontiff, by reciting one complete Our Father in the course of the day. Until now, in all previous Palmarian holy years, it has only been possible to gain the most plenary indulgences in the Cathedral Basilica of Our Crowned Mother of Palmar. During Glorious Palmarian Holy Year 2018, however, very exceptionally, the faithful can also gain them at each Mass. We celebrate on our apostolic journeys to different countries. The faithful of Africa and the Philippines, moreover, who were never able to come to El Palmar de Troia, can gain the same most plenary indulgences of the Glorious Holy Year at each Mass celebrated by their missionary bishop on Sundays and other holy days, providing they comply with all the other conditions. Make good use of this glorious holy year in order duly to gain many most plenary indulgences. For the Catechism teaches that besides pardoning all the temporal pain due to forgiven sins, mortal and venial, the most plenary indulgence has the virtue of granting extraordinary, unsuspected graces for attaining sanctity. As always, the faithful can apply the most plenary indulgences of Glorious Palmarian Holy Year for their own benefit, for their relatives, for the conversion of sinners and in suffrage for the holy souls of purgatory. This glorious holy year is the year of pardon for sins. It is a year in which God and His Most Holy Mother more than ever show their mercy and goodness towards mankind. Let us be sure to respond to their divine generosity, taking into account that love is repaid by love alone. When that first apparition of the Most Holy Virgin Mary took place in the sacred place of the Lentisco in El Palmar de Troia in 1968, no one dreamt of the transcendence of the event, since, though it was evident that many things in the Church were going wrong, no one suspected that, in this out-of-the-way place, the most important apparitions in all history had begun, on which depended the salvation of the Church and of the entire world. In consequence, no one at that time could thank God and His Most Holy Mother duly for such extraordinary benefits. Consequently, in this 50th anniversary, or Golden Jubilee, of that first apparition, it is right that the whole Church acknowledge such favours, display her profound gratitude, and respond with renewed fervour to Most Holy Mary's callings to prayer and penance. Why so many apparitions in El Palmar? They were necessary to save the church. Otherwise, at the death of Pope St. Paul VI, the gates of hell would have prevailed against the church, since by then Rome had fallen completely into the hands of Christ's enemies, and no true pope was possible there. We have to be grateful for these apparitions, respond to such abundant graces, work to save souls, and above all offer reparation to God and placate his just wrath. To appreciate this, we must surely go over the history of the apparitions once again. On the 30th of March 1968, the Most Holy Virgin of Carmel appeared for the first time upon a lentisk tree on a property in El Palmar de Troya to four girls from the village. Following the first four girls, other seers began to emerge, chiefly four men and four women, several of them residents of El Palmar. At the spot of the lentisk, prayers were said, and the seers received heavenly visits, and this place, chosen by the Most Holy Virgin in her first apparition, is where Jesus' holy face and our crowned mother are today enthroned. Clemente Dominguez y Gómez and his friend Manuel Alonso Corral began to frequent the sacred place and acknowledge the authenticity of the apparitions. Both often led the prayers, came to know the seers better, and had many proofs of their authenticity. On the 30th of September 1969, Clemente had his first vision when he saw the Lord and Padre Pio. From that day on, Clemente had frequent visions, confirmed by other seers. In December 1969, he had messages recommending the recital of the Holy Rosary of the Our Fathers, or Penitential Rosary, and ordaining that adoration of the Holy Face, the Holy Way of the Cross, and the Reparatory Communion of the First Thursdays be spread throughout the world to atone for the outrages done to the Lord's divine countenance. Clemente Dominguez y Gómez soon became the chief messenger. For our Lord Jesus Christ and the Most Holy Virgin Mary entrusted him with the most transcendent and compromising messages. The messages are a continuous call to prayer and penance, a denunciation of the heresies, progressivism, and other desecrations pitilessly ravaging the Roman Church, the announcement of apocalyptic events, a great schism in the Church following the death of Pope St. Paul VI, the papacy in El Palmar de Troya, the proximity of Antichrist's coming, and the glorious second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ as supreme judge to judge men universally and establish the messianic kingdom on earth. The majority of the cardinals, bishops, and priests of the Roman Church had apostatized. Pope St. Paul VI was an innocent victim of the Freemasonry and communism by then ruling the Church. The apparitions of El Palmar de Troya prepared the future see of the Church in that sacred place, as it is at the present time. The principal seer of the apparitions of El Palmar de Troya, Clemente Dominguez, had to fight courageously to make known the highly compromising messages given to him by our Lord Jesus Christ and the Most Holy Virgin Mary over long years. His loyalty to God was thoroughly proven. Clemente Dominguez y Gómez, from the very beginning, became the great apostle of the Holy Face of our Lord Jesus Christ and of the Holy Penitential Rosary, devotions which were fiercely combated by many and which he defended vigorously. In his apostolic mission, the young Clemente Dominguez had interviews with the most important prelates of the Roman Church, of Spain, and of other nations, the majority by then degenerate, and, in the face of their obstinacy, stood up to many of those prelates in defense of the rights of God and Church, according as the Lord and the Virgin Mary had instructed him. On one occasion, he even handed over the messages of El Palmar to Pope St. Paul VI himself in a papal audience. This glorious Pope, St. Paul VI, who was aware of the heavenly apparitions and messages, never condemned the work of El Palmar de Troya. Clemente Dominguez y Gómez was the great defender of Pope St. Paul VI, and with valor and decision, revealed to the world that this Pope was a victim of Vatican Freemasonry, whose Masons drugged him to deprive him of his free will. The purpose of the apparitions of El Palmar was to prepare a place of refuge for the true faithful of the Church when the foreseen apostasy of Rome was to take place. The heavenly messages insisted on several principal questions. Defense of the authentic Catholic faith in accord with holy tradition and the Church's authentic magisterium. Love, obedience, and submission to the sacred person of the Pope as Vicar of Christ, infallible rock. Then Paul VI, love, respect, and true adoration of the sacred Eucharist, with the obligation of receiving Holy Communion kneeling and on the tongue, and the condemnation of the administration of communion to those standing as irreverent and in the hand as sacrilegious. Love and veneration for the Most Holy Virgin Mary as Mother of God and Mother of the Church. Defense of Marian dogmas and of the worship of sacred images. Love and devotion to the saints, especially to glorious patriarch Saint Joseph, and veneration of their images, as also devotion to the holy souls of purgatory. A continuous exhortation to prayer and penance, Holy Mass, Holy Communion, night and day. Adoration of the Most Blessed Sacrament. Meditation on the Passion of the Lord by the practice of the Holy Way of the Cross. Recital of the Holy Penitential Rosary as most powerful arm against Satan. Reparation for the offenses given to the Holy Face of Jesus, to His Most Sacred Heart, and to the Immaculate Heart of Mary by way of the reparatory communions. Condemnation of heretical innovations and of the 1969 Novus Ordo Missae, so-called concocted and trumped up by heretics and not the doing of Pope Paul VI. Re-establishment of the Holy Latin Tridentine Mass of St. Pio V as the authentic sacrifice of the altar, in which Calvary is truly perpetuated and the divine blood outpoured to make reparation to God and obtain the redemption of mankind. For the holy sacrifice of the Mass cannot be changed for a phony Mass, which is no sacrifice but a banquet, as happened in those satanic modern Masses. Condemnation of progressivism, which destroys holy tradition, and of the heresies being spread about within the very bosom of the Church by many priests, and including by some bishops and cardinals. Condemnation of liberalism, Marxism, and what they erroneously called ecumenism. Exhortation to vigilance and to prayer, for communism and Freemasonry had gained entry into the Church and occupied high posts. Announcement of a coming schism in the Church with the appointment of an antipope who would try to destroy the Church after the death of Pope Paul VI. Announcement of the arrival of Antichrist, who will have himself adored as God. Triumph of communist power in the world. Announcement of a coming terrible Third World War, atomic, which will destroy many cities with purification of the world by fire and chastisement of the perverse. Triumph of Mary's Immaculate Heart. Rout of Satan, Christ's second coming, and his total and absolute reign. All this is to happen quite soon, since the Church's decadent hierarchy rejected all of Christ's ordinances and warnings. On the 23rd of December 1975, the Lord ordered the then Clemente Dominguez y Gómez to found the Order of Carmelites of the Holy Face in company of Jesus and Mary. The members of the Order of Carmelites of the Holy Face are the Marian Apostles of the Last Times, also called Crossbearers. In January 1976, in El Palmar de Troya, Clemente was ordained priest and consecrated bishop by Archbishop St. Peter Martin Ngodin Thuc, and soon the Palmarian Episcopal College came into being. All of this was the motive for a serious persecution launched by the apostate Seville Cardinal, Bueno Monreal, fierce persecutor of the apparitions in El Palmar de Troya. In May 1976, Father Clemente Dominguez lost both eyes in an accident. Nonetheless, blind, he carried on as intensely apostolic as before, in Spain and other nations of Europe and America, proclaiming the true faith, tradition, and holy morals in his sermons, vigorously defending Pope St. Paul VI, and attacked by both progressivists and extreme traditionalists, and denouncing above all the heresies and degeneracy propagated by cardinals and bishops from the Vatican and the dioceses. The bishop primate of El Palmar de Troya, first as Father Clemente, and then with the name Father Ferdinand, was the voice crying out in the church in the name of the Roman sovereign pontiff, who was not allowed to speak or act freely. By God's express wish, up till the death of Pope St. Paul VI, Bishop Father Ferdinand filled the loftiest office of sub-vicar of Christ in the church. In August 1976, in one of his apparitions, our Lord Jesus Christ promised the primacy of the church to Father Clemente, telling him, "You will be the future Peter, the Pope who will consolidate faith and integrity in the church, warring against heresy with mighty strength, for legions of angels will assist you." While accursed progressivism attacked the very foundations of the church so as to destroy her, our Most Holy Mother, the Virgin Mary, clearly denounced the corruption and degeneracy of the Roman Church on the way to its apostasy, and, in the sacred place of El Palmar de Troya, kept her faithful children firm in the Holy Catholic faith. In the messages, our Lord Jesus Christ said, "But I, who assist my church until the consummation of time, will not allow my elect to be deceived. I say to you, do not listen to any word against Pope Paul VI, elected by the Holy Ghost. O my son, it is sad to have to recount these things about my ministers, but I have to recount them, so that my sheep do not go astray. I am the good shepherd. What shepherd allows his sheep to go astray? Does he not keep them safely around him? Can a good shepherd perhaps allow his sheep to be guided by wolves? So then, fulfilling my mission as good shepherd, I warn you of the evil there is in the church. In these times, meditate deeply on obedience to the shepherds. Today, there are shepherds who teach heretical doctrines. There are shepherds who rise up against the supreme shepherd, my vicar. Can you explain to me how you can obey a wayward shepherd? You would fall into the same pit. My little children, today more than ever, hold firmly to the rock, the Pope. Today more than ever, be alert to the voice of the Pope, since many bishops are not in communion with him. I tell you, you cannot obey a bishop if he is not in communion with the Pope. The Pope is always Peter, and Peter is the one who rules the church. My little children, pray much for your Holy Mother, the Church, for your shepherds, your priests. Pray constantly for them. The Church is becoming yet further obscured. It will seem that she has succumbed. But my assistance will never fail you. I will be with you until the consummation of time. Yet my true Church will be very hidden and very persecuted, and the Pharisaical Church will be fully recognized by all states and will follow in the tracks of Antichrist. Still, do not be troubled. You have my Most Holy Mother as Divine Shepherdess. She will guide you, and the true bark will not succumb, but will float over the waters, strong, valiant, and will give great martyrs who will amaze mankind, the Church of the Marian Apostles. Today, more than ever, you should trust in the spiritual motherhood of Mary, the one full of grace. My little children, what times are approaching? Soon the great schism will come. Following Paul VI comes the reign of the antipope, and then the question of obedience will be seen. Imagine a man who calls himself Pope, whom all consider to be Pope, head of the church, and who begins to give strange orders. And obviously they will say, "He is the Pope, I have to listen to him and obey him." And then deviations will come, the sheep wandering about in the midst of wolves. But great saints will arise, with beacons, banners and standards, whom no one will silence until they undergo martyrdom. Then, obedience will be seen. You will not have long to wait. In other messages, the Lord warned about the false ecumenism of the time. Today, sadly, by calling them separated brethren, the notion of heresy has been lost. Today, everything is open to discussion. Everything is relative. And in time, everyone falls into the same heresy, praising Calvinists and Lutherans. But what is happening in my church? But has the truth of the church changed today? Are those things previously condemned not condemned today? Is what previously was heresy not heresy today? No, my children, what previously was heresy is heresy today, if so declared by the Cathedra of Peter. Fight Calvinism, fight Protestantism, fight Lutheranism. Look, my children, today there is greater danger because Calvinism and Lutheranism are inside Catholicism. That is the greatest danger. They are inside Catholicism. Previously, they were outside and you knew where they came from. But today you have them inside. Fight them. I am your banner. I, Jesus Christ and Mary Immaculate, together with Peter in the sacred person of Paul the 6th. That is the church, away with heretical innovations. My little children, in the sacred places of apparitions, you learn to return to the church's holy tradition. These are the authentic seminaries. Today they say, the church is adult, we can't impose, there is freedom of expression. If there is freedom of expression, then why are those priests who celebrate Mass according to holy tradition forbidden, silenced, and thrown out of churches? Where is that freedom of expression? The traditional church is accused of dictatorship. But doesn't the progressivist church impose progressivism no matter who objects, cost what it may? Doesn't it remove the best people from their posts for the fact of being traditionalists? Away with that dictatorship. If the traditionalist dictatorship has to be abolished, you can abolish the progressivist dictatorship. Look, my children, intelligent as serpents should you be, and simple like doves. Hence the condemnations of these sacred places, without thorough study, hurt me. How can anything be condemned when there have been no hearings, when both sides have not been heard, where a balance has not been reached? Accordingly, I tell you again, meditate, investigate, and you will find the light. Today, when so much is said of the union of all Christians, the so-called separated brethren, a much abused new title, precisely at this time of so-called unity, is when the Catholic Church is disunited in her own bosom. Seek first authentic unity among Catholics, and then pray much so that the separated brethren return to the Father's home. Understand this title of separated brethren as motive for loving those members from the heart and detesting their ideas, since those ideas are heresies. So great is this abuse of separated brethren today that truth and lies are put on the same pedestal. And what is worse, instead of drawing heretics to the one true church, the Catholic Church, Catholics fall into those same heresies. One of the prime objectives of El Palmar was to defend the sacred person of the Pope, Vicar of Christ, then St. Paul the 6th, as the Lord explained in another message. O beloved little children, children of my heart, you still do not realize the mystery of this sacred place. You do not realize the importance of this sacred place, precisely in these times when the Church is going through hours of darkness, confusion. This place is the stay of my vicar, my gentle vicar, Paul the 6th. He is captive. Hence, at these moments, my heart bleeds and my eyes are full of tears, since that is how my vicar, Paul the 6th, is. Therefore, I want this sacred place, El Palmar de Troia, to be the support, the stay of my vicar, Paul 6th. You, beloved children of this sacred place, be strongly united to the Pope. Love him intensely. Do not forget that he is Christ on earth. And above all, have pity and compassion on him. He suffers deeply and will suffer yet more. until, at the end, he gives his life for the whole church. Help him by your prayers and your penances. That is the importance of El Palmar de Troya, that this place is faithful to the church's tradition and is faithful to the Pope and understands the Pope at these times of the church. This duty of Palmarians to be intimately united to the Pope, to love him intensely, and to help him by your prayers did not end at the death of St. Paul VI, but is still in vigor, because even in the desert of El Palmar, the Vicar of Christ always has to bear a heavy burden of sufferings, obligations, and contradictions upon his weak shoulders, so that he depends upon divine assistance and upon your prayers. The Most Holy Virgin Mary's clamor, through her chief messenger, Clemente Dominguez, was accompanied by extraordinary signs evidencing the truth of the apparitions, marvelous ecstasies, conversions, miraculous cures. There were truly extraordinary events, such as visible mystical communions, in which the sacred host, miraculously received from the Lord's hands, was visible to all present on the tongue of some seer, and stigmatizations of several seers. On several occasions, Clemente Dominguez received the grace of the stigmata of Christ's passion, in the hands, on the forehead and head, and in the right side. He received some of these wounds in the presence of many of those who frequented the sacred place of El Palmar. On one occasion, he lost more than 15 liters of blood from the stigmata in a single day, without receiving any medical attention, and on the following day he was up and about the house, which was a veritable heavenly miracle witnessed by several persons, for the human body normally contains some 5 liters of blood. Many are the sick who have recovered their bodily health in the sacred place of El Palmar de Troya, above all from the water blessed by the Most Holy Virgin. Once 14 sick were cured in a single day, and in the Book of the Messages, other testimonies are given to more than 20 cases of miraculous cures of cancer, gangrene, paralysis, tumors, ulcers, arthrosis, cysts, gallstones, swellings, nervous disorders, atrocious pain, etc. Nonetheless, people in their majority rejected all these miracles and signs, so that in 1972 the Lord said, "Sadly, there are many blind people who, having eyes, do not see in this hour of darkness. The signs and evidence are everywhere, but they try to give a scientific explanation to everything, and it is all due to man making a god of himself. Ah, what frightful materialism reigns in the world today." There are some who say they have no obligation to believe the messages, which is untrue, for all men have the obligation to accept revealed religion, to believe its dogmas, to comply with its precepts, and perform its worship, for God is truth itself, and is the supreme authority, and all his creatures have the duty to believe in his word and obey his laws. There is no freedom of conscience before God. Every man is born subject to the truth, and is obliged to profess it in the measure of his knowledge. God, as creator, possesses complete dominion over all his creatures, and man should bow his reason to God's word, believing what he teaches and practicing what he commands. God can entrust certain seers or ambassadors of his to speak to us in his name. It is enough for us to have sure signs to show that those to whom God has given the mission of transmitting to us his dispositions have not been deceived nor deceive. Wouldn't a subject be treated as senseless and insubordinate if he refused to carry out his sovereign's orders, alleging that he had not received them from the king himself but from an intermediary? There is no need for everyone personally to be a witness of the heavenly signs which God's ambassadors give to evidence their mission. The testimony of trustworthy witnesses is sufficient. In order that we know our religion, there are the patriarchs, prophets, apostles, God's envoys, between God and ourselves. These ambassadors must have their credentials. the evident signs which prove their divine mission. For God can give sure signs, and the chief ones are miracles and prophecies. When God gives miraculous signs to show the authenticity of the apparitions, he is setting his signature to show that he is the author. For only God has the power to perform authentic miracles. And God cannot approve error, nor favor error by way of miracles. Miraculous events are approved by the numerous testimonies of those who have witnessed them. If the miracle has been performed in confirmation of a message or an apparition, it is God himself confirming it with the seal of his authority. When God, our Creator and Lord, reveals something, we have the obligation of submitting our intelligence and our will to him by faith. By faith, we believe the things he has revealed to be true because of the authority of God who has revealed them. God, who detests pride, wills to remind us that we depend on him and we should submit ourselves humbly to his word and to his will. Those who refuse to believe in the mysteries revealed by God through his ambassadors are insubordinate and godless, for their refusal to believe in what God has revealed is an injury to God, who is the very truth, and who with more right than any decent man can require us to believe in his word. God himself, who reveals mysteries and infuses faith, has given us the use of reason, and reason likewise tells us that the errors, heresies, and obscenities condemned by the church over the centuries will never become right, even though the modern theologians of the Vatican II Conciliabulum say the opposite. There we have another very important sign of the veracity of the Palmarian apparitions, namely, the defense the messages make of the Church's traditional doctrine and her dogmas. In the face of progressivist heresies, of false ecumenism, modernism, and other errors and immoralities repeatedly condemned by all the popes for centuries, all teaching opposed to the infallible magisterium of Holy Church has to be rejected, though it may come from bishops or be backed up by apparent miracles. There were not only miracles, but other signs as well, to show the truth of El Palmar, as Most Holy Mary said in 1973. For this work bears a sign which is the cross. Behold the sign of God's works, the cross. Without cross, there is no divine work. This sign was most evident in Clemente Dominguez, who of all the seers was the one who suffered most, and who had to bear the greatest and cruelest criticism, and was the target of the blackest calumnies. The moral sufferings he had to undergo were great, and both these and others resulting from the stigmata of the Sacred Passion he always offered up for sinners, for the Pope and for the Church, and for the triumph of the Most Holy Virgin. The heavy cross he bore is the unmistakable sign that his mission came from heaven. The apparitions drew criticism and opposition from the degenerate church hierarchy since its malice was exposed. The heavenly messages denounce the modern mass, the impoverishment of divine worship, the sacrileges, abandonment of prayer, materialism, scandals in dress, failure to keep God's commandments, heresies, false ecumenism and other aberrations, all permitted or promoted by the Roman hierarchy and priests. The messages insisted on the need to re-establish the authentic holy sacrifice of the Mass, to do prayer and penance, to atone to God and save souls, and to cease to offend God. There were prophecies, confirmed by the different seers, on the great punishments from God for the rejection of the traditional doctrine of the Church, including a schism and great apostasies following the death of Pope St. Paul VI and the proximity of the Third World War. In April 1972, Clemente Dominguez travelled to Rome to hand over to Pope St. Paul VI a document in defence of the apparitions of El Palmar de Troia, signed by a great number of faithful who had been witnesses of the wonderful prodigies and miracles performed in this sacred place, visible mystical communions, stigmatizations, conversions, cures, as also much prayer and penance done in Palmar. In this document, which in its day was handed over to the Cardinal of Seville, José María Bueno Monreal, the condemnation made by this prelate of the apparitions was rejected, considering it unjust, since a tribunal, in order to pass sentence, has the obligation of holding hearings, and that means conscientious investigation and study of the proofs which are laid out in the document. The apparitions of El Palmar de Troya enjoy abundant proofs of authenticity, proofs which are evident to all who take an interest in them. Nonetheless, the Seville cardinal, taking no account of the supernatural events, arbitrarily condemned the apparitions. They had no other recourse, therefore, than to turn to the Holy Father, Pope Paul VI, informing him of events in El Palmar. Backing up their information with photographs of the prodigious phenomena of the different seers, and with a long list of signatures by witnesses, requesting him to study the apparitions. In one of the visits by Clemente Dominguez to Cardinal Bueno Monreal of Seville, this prelate, with obstinacy and pride, rejecting the messages, personally told the seer in the presence of Manuel Alonso Corral and others, "Tell the Virgin to come and say it to me herself." To which the seer replied, "Eminence, if you have no humility, the Virgin will not speak to you." Recall that the Sanhedrin in full met up owing to the miracle of Lazarus' resurrection, and speaking of Jesus, said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many miracles. If we let him be, everyone will believe in him." The Sanhedrin members were quite convinced as well of Jesus Christ's resurrection. To deny it, they turned to bribes and lies. They gave the guards a large sum of money to spread the word that Jesus' disciples had robbed the Master's body while they slept. But if they really did not believe in Christ's resurrection, their duty, as likewise their own interests, obliged them to punish the soldiers for their faults against military discipline and persecute the apostles for having broken the tomb seals placed by the authorities. Why didn't they start proceedings to ascertain guilt and search for the disappeared body? The fact that the Sanhedrin members were satisfied with bribing the soldiers and hushing up the affair at the price of gold was a patent proof that they could not deny Jesus Christ's resurrection. Likewise, in these times as well, just as wily, the Seville cardinal, fierce enemy of the Palmar apparitions, arbitrarily condemned them and forbade any official ecclesiastical investigation to clarify them, which reveals that he himself believed that the Most Holy Virgin Mary appeared there, or at least feared that an investigation might so demonstrate, and thus revealed himself as God's enemy and a sham shepherd of souls, like the Sanhedrin. By his rejection of the divine Palmar messages, the Roman prelates and their followers deserve the same reproach Christ made to the Jews. "And nonetheless, you do not wish to believe me, who am the Son of God, because I tell you the truth. If I tell you the truth, why are you not willing to believe me? Whoever is from God listens to God's words. That is why you do not listen to them, because you are not from God." The hierarchy's iniquitous verdict turned many souls away, as the Lord explained in the Palmar messages in 1971. "So you see, children, they were the church's pontiffs. They called me blasphemer and crucified me, but I am the Son of God." Many Jews obeyed the church's pontiffs and have not yet found peace. Other Jews disobeyed the pontiffs, yet they are glorifying God, for they believed in my word. Look at the fruits, and you will know if the apparition is from God. And the divine shepherdess said, "Whoever is sure of having heard the voice of heaven is obliged to give testimony to that truth under pain of damnation. Therefore, the Lord gives strength to his seers." Consider the following. It is in sacred scripture. Jesus' apostles performed miracles in the name of Jesus and preached his doctrine. But the pontiffs of the Judaic church forbade them to mention the holy name of Jesus and scourged them in the synagogue. Peter received courage from the Lord and replied, Judge for yourselves if it be just before God to obey you instead of him. And at the end of his days, he confirmed this truth with his own blood, dying crucified head downwards. If I were to say anything against the gospel, against the dogmas, do not obey me, but your shepherds. You know that in this sacred place, the messages are a confirmation of the holy gospel and the sacred dogmas of the Holy Catholic Church. Remember in the Palmarian Creed that we say, referring to the times to come, I believe that, owing to the great general apostasy of the Roman Church, the terrible Third World War will ensue, and the first 3 days of darkness of the apocalyptic era, all of which will be a frightful purifying chastisement as manifestation of God's just wrath. I believe that, together with this great purification, the apotheosic apparition of the Most Holy Virgin Mary, or great miracle of El Palmar de Troya, will occur, Pentecost upon the Palmarian apostles, the new enchainment of Satan, the universal exaltation of the Holy Palmarian Church, and the conquest of the sacred Hispano-Palmarian Empire, or reign of the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary, brought about by the Order of Carmelites of the Holy Face, or Crossbearers, captained by the Pope. The great miracle will come after the chastisements and the world's purification. Until now, the miracles in Palmar have been lesser ones. This too is a grace for the greater merit of good souls, so that they act by faith. And it is a mercy for bad souls, as it is a grace for them to postpone the great miracle until they are ready to accept it, for if it came now, their guilt would be even greater for rejecting it. That is what our Lord Jesus Christ explained in a message of 1972. What merit is there in believing after the miracle? Now is when there is merit in believing, which is what is called faith. Press on firm in the faith along the way of salvation, without withdrawing from the Church's directives. Await patiently, the great miracle of Palmar will come one day, and then our Heavenly Mother will display the radiance of her glory as never before in any previous apparition. By her glorious and triumphant apocalyptic manifestation, the Most Holy Virgin Mary will give universal and unequivocal proof of the veracity of the one Holy, Catholic, Apostolic, and Palmarian Church, as announced in the Book of the Apocalypse. Besides, those who truly love our Lord Jesus Christ have no need of so many prodigious signs in order to follow him. The Lord himself explains this on speaking of the Good Shepherd. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls each of his sheep by name and leads them out to good pastures. And when he has led his sheep out, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him as they know his voice. But they do not follow the stranger, rather they flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. This explains why there have been so many saints among Palmarians, whose one desire was to follow Christ faithfully. The Pharisees and Sadducees, on the other hand, despite the many miracles our Lord had wrought, asked him to give them some prodigious sign from heaven as proof that he was the Messiah. Jesus, however, with a deep sigh, said to them, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? How come you are unable to recognize the clear signs in these times of the coming of the Messiah? This base and adulterous generation, then, asks me for a prodigious sign. No other sign will be given it, however, than the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And the base and adulterous generation of the 21st century will have no other sign than the great miracle of Palmar." In the Old Testament, God foretold to his people that if they faithfully kept the divine law, they would be victorious over their enemies and would be lavished with blessings. He also announced to them the most grievous calamities if they were unfaithful. So it always happened over the centuries. Whenever the Jews broke God's law, they were crushed by neighboring nations. And when they were converted, God raised up victorious Caudillos among them. Sacred history clearly shows that God chastises guilty nations sooner or later and severely, so that man should always, above all and at all costs, keep inviolably faithful to God, who does not change, and to his holy religion. The Lord said so in Palma in 1972, "Mankind is making its way with giant strides towards its own destruction, as it is on the verge of a third world war. Soon, very soon, the earth will be convulsed. For mankind, by its sins, by its pride, draws down the Father's wrath. Hence I entreat you, my little children, to throw yourselves into the lap of your heavenly mother, the divine shepherdess. She is holding back the hour of justice, and obtaining that mercy may rule. There will soon be great events in Europe. Europe will be tremendously punished. Since neither atomic war will suffice to chastise the sins and wickedness of the present world, the 3 days of darkness will also come to put an end to so much evil. The degeneration of today's world can be compared to that of Noah's times, when only the 8 persons who took to heart God's warnings were saved from the universal flood. After the chastisements, when the world has been thoroughly purified, God will show mercy to mankind. The Most Holy Virgin Mary has so promised in Palma, "My children, the miracle is very close. No other miracle will be performed in any other apparition in the same way as this one. Let all of you remember that I am your mother. The world will soon see the power of God and will tremble, for the wrath of the Father will not be long delayed. Soon, too, the mercy of God will be seen, for the great miracle will happen soon. But beforehand, the chalice must be purified. You are warned, and now with little time, for the hour will come for all, according as you have or have not done penance. I bless you." Glorious Palmarian Holy Year 2018 is also to commemorate 40 years of the papacy in El Palmar de Troya, that is, 40 years of the church in the desert. The culminating event of the apparitions of Palmar was the 6th of August 1978 at the death of Pope St. Paul VI. Our Lord Jesus Christ on that same day appeared to the then Bishop Primate Father Ferdinand and asked him, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know it well," replied Father Ferdinand. The Lord said to him, "Shepherd my flock." Surely the Lord knew very well that he loved him. For 9 years, Clemente Dominguez had given continuous proofs of his love and fidelity to God, spreading the messages, visiting countless bishops and priests as God's messenger, pressing ahead with valor, bearing up under humiliations and confrontations, always ready to carry out unpleasant missions while other seers shunned them. Clemente's love shines out in the whole great apostolic labor he performed. Thanks to his efforts, the Holy Penitential Rosary was propagated, and in Palmar, daily prayer and penance has never failed. Outstanding was his spirit of sacrifice, prayer and commitment, besides his fidelity and obedience to the messages he received from heaven. It would have been more comfortable to lay them to one side and evade his responsibility, but that would have meant betraying his conscience. Clemente Dominguez was a victim to his fidelity to heaven, in the compromising task which, prior to his papacy, he carried out as messenger seer and secular apostle, and then as bishop primate of this sacred place, confronting devastating, accursed progressivism which, with all of its heresy and degeneracy, had been introduced into the church many years previously. This calamity reached its peak during the pontificate of Pope St. Paul VI, the martyr of the Vatican, who was subjected to drugs and ill treatment to nullify his will, in order for him to be manipulated as an instrument of Vatican Freemasonry's diabolical plans. Despite the infiltrated enemies ruling the church, the gates of hell did not prevail against her, The church continued invincible in the desert of El Palmar de Troya, preserved from heresies and degeneracy thanks to the blessed apparitions which were preparing this sacred place to become the Apostolic See of the Church, the Cathedra of St. Peter. Nonetheless, if Clemente had acted with the same indifference and apathy as the other seers of Palmar, the apparitions would have ended up in nothing. He was the sole seer who labored tenaciously to impose everything that heaven commanded. Overcoming 1,000 obstacles, he confronted every enemy with tireless resolve, and no one could hold him back. By this resolve, Clemente demonstrated his sincere and selfless love for God and for the Pope, and could thus answer in the affirmative when the Lord put the same questions to him as to St. Peter. Do you love me? He had given proofs, not just of his love, but also of his constancy in defense of the faith and in promoting divine worship and sound morals, so that it was evident that he was the most adequate person to become Vicar of Christ. The Church of Christ thus rose up with greater strength and vigor in the sacred place of El Palmar de Troya, instead of perishing as her wicked enemies expected. On that memorable 6th of August 1978, our Lord Jesus Christ, accompanied by Apostles St. Peter and St. Paul, placed the sacred tiara upon the head of the new Pope, who was thus crowned in a mysterious and profound way. Behold the fulfillment of the prophecies. The martyr of the Vatican, the sublime martyr, has died. He is overjoyed because he never committed the error of condemning the Carmelites of the Holy Face. In his heart, he always approved the order, approved the episcopate of El Palmar de Troya. And he always counted on this episcopate for the continuation of Holy Church. He died then with great happiness, knowing that the Church will go on ahead by way of El Palmar de Troya. There is great joy in heaven on this day of the Transfiguration on Mount Tabor. Now the mount called Christ the King is transfigured into Mount Tabor, owing to the splendor which the Church will enjoy in this apocalyptic time, in this time of catacombs. The reign of the glory of the olives has begun. Great sufferings await you, my dear son. Heavy shall be the cross you bear, much heavier than blindness itself. The cross of incomprehension, the cross of persecution. Stay firm. Ask the help of my most holy mother, the Virgin Mary. She will always accompany you. Only the simple and humble of heart will recognize him who is the true Pope. An age called golden is beginning in the history of Spain, the revival of values. The great pontificate of the glory of the olives begins, the Pope announced by many mystics in many prophecies. It was also announced in olden prophecies how the election of this Pope would take place. It would be by the direct intervention of Apostles St. Peter and St. Paul. There is no other way of counteracting the official election by conclave in Rome, from which the antipope will emerge. When very small, this pope had the prodigy of each letter of the word Gloria appearing on his tongue. In the course of several weeks, the letters of the word Gloria appeared one by one. Can you call that chance or providence? This refers to a miraculous and prophetic occurrence in St. Gregory XVII's childhood. Clemente visited the home of an aunt every week, and this aunt saw a letter of the alphabet appear each week impressed on his tongue in this order, G-L-O-R-I-A. For God knows the future, his knowledge is infinite, and there is no past or future for him. God sees everything that free creatures will do without this affecting their liberty in any way, and thus gives prophecies as divine testimony to the truth. Following the death of Pope St. Paul VI, the general apostasy of the Roman Church was consummated, and it ceased to be Christ's true church. This apostasy drew in its train practically the entire Catholic faithful, with the exception of a remnant who stayed firm in the true doctrine of the Church, the Palmarian faithful under the staff of the true Vicar of Christ, Pope St. Gregory XVII, with see in El Palmar de Troia. In the apostate see of Rome, a series of antipopes have been named as false shepherds, among them antipope John Paul II, voracious beast, the greatest propagator of heresies and other degeneracy, and a significant precursor of Antichrist, whose motto, De Laboris Solis, means eclipse of the sun, as he interposed between the sun, Pope St. Gregory the 16th, and mankind, producing the greatest spiritual eclipse known up till then. On the coming 6th of August 2018, Judaic Vatican Freemasonry will also be having a feast day and celebrate with diabolical jubilee the 40 years of their victory over the Roman Church. They surely have all the buildings which in previous times were sacred and have drawn hundreds of millions of souls down into apostasy. Nonetheless, with respect to the true Church, all the efforts of those perjured Freemasons have but served to purify her and cleanse her of all that malignant rot which was undermining her and allowing her to take root in the fertile soil of Palmar and flourish with renewed vigour, rejuvenated and beautified. Likewise, in the year 2018, the 23rd of September is the 50th anniversary of the death of St. Pio of Pietrelcina, a key figure in El Palmar de Troia. His apparitions to the seers of this holy place were very frequent. His presence in Palmar was noted by many pilgrims by way of certain prodigious signs, among them perfume. St. Pio became visible for the first time in El Palmar de Troia when he was still alive, a short time after the beginning of the apparitions. The predilection of this stigmatized saint for El Palmar de Troia is not surprising, since he himself prophesied that the Most Holy Virgin Mary would appear in a village situated between the cities of Seville and Cadiz in Spain, so that we can call him the first Palmarian faithful. In one of his apparitions, St. Pio taught us to pray the Holy Penitential Rosary of the Our Fathers, at the beginning also called Padre Pio's Rosary. St. Pio's mission in these last times is extraordinarily important, as he himself said in 1972, to the then Clementi, "I have been designated by our Lord Jesus Christ to lead the Marian apostles of the last times. I ask all those who want to form part of the crusade for Mary's reign to take me as captain of the Marian hosts. I assure you that Mary will triumph." Let all prepare to welcome glorious Palmarian Holy Year 2018 with pious enthusiasm and make good use of the whole year, taking advantage of the infinite mercy of God, who offers us this opportunity to purify and strengthen ourselves and attain sanctity. Do not miss the opportunities of gaining most plenary indulgences and other graces in the glorious Holy Year, which will serve to prepare for future events. For mankind lives with its back to the Creator, ignores His supreme authority and His holy law, and sins all the more. Obviously, this cannot go on indefinitely, society having openly and criminally cast aside God's law and His rule. To show this, it is enough to recall that the old law ordered the death penalty for idolatry, blasphemy, sorcery, murder, adultery, crimes against nature, and violation of the Lord's Day, all of which is permitted and defended by perverse laws in today's world. Degeneracy has reached its peak, and someday God will let His holy wrath fall upon mankind with the just rigor which such and so many sins deserve. We, by means of the present apostolic letter, make a calling to all the faithful of the one Holy, Catholic, Apostolic and Palmarian Church to come on pilgrimage to the sacred place of El Palmar de Troia on the occasion of the Nativity of the Lord, New Year's Eve 2017 and New Year's Day 2018, and thus take part in the opening of glorious Palmarian Holy Year 2018, and in the other solemn worship which will be held, God willing, in the Cathedral Basilica of our crowned Mother of Palmar. We remind you that the 25th of December, at midnight, at the start of Christmas Day, we shall have midnight mass as usual. At 11 in the morning, we'll begin the Christmas bell concert, and at 11:30, the church will open. Just as last year, at 12 o'clock midday, we shall have the solemn ceremony of kissing the child Jesus, which will begin with the hymn Adeste Fidelis in Latin, and afterwards, carols will be sung in the different languages. At the end of the ceremony, we will give the blessing with the divine child Jesus. The faithful who attend the four turns of masses on Christmas Day may receive Holy Communion at each turn. As all our missionary bishops will be here in this Holy Apostolic See from the 23rd of December, there will be no Holy Masses elsewhere, so that it is well for all the faithful to make an effort to be present at the Holy Apostolic See of the Church, round about the Divine Child and His Most Holy Mother. Given in El Palmar de Troia, Apostolic See, on the 1st of October, Feast of Christ the King, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ 2017, and second of our pontificate. With our apostolic blessing. Petrus Tertius Papa, Pontifex Maximus.